Hello, I'm Christopher Badger.
And I'm Mark Davis.
We're barristers at Six Pump Court, and would like to welcome you to the latest environmental law news podcast, brought to you in association with LexisNexis. In this podcast, we look at a new angle on the investigation into the stockpiling of body parts, the waste of paper that is a new guidance note on chemical regulation in the event of a no-deal Brexit, and the UK's tentative steps towards a radical green future. First, we look at the recent press reports concerning the treatment of clinical waste. Recent press reports named Healthcare Environmental Services Limited, or HES as we'll be calling it, as having significantly and repeatedly breached its environmental permits by storing hundreds of tonnes of clinical waste at its sites. The firm has been stripped of its NHS contracts after Health Minister Stephen Barclay told Parliament that HES had failed to demonstrate that they were operating within their contractual limits. So Mark, what caused the problem?
Thanks, Chris. Unsurprisingly, this is a critical point of disagreement between the company and the Environment Agency. Now, the EA stated that there is industry-wide agreement that there is sufficient incineration capacity to cope with clinical waste. It reports that inspections show that the rest of the sector is performing well. But HES, on the other hand, have told the BBC that the company has been vilified for providing an excellent service and that problems were caused by a shortage of incinerators rather than the company's actions.
So who is right?
Well, a great deal remains unclear at the moment. However, there is an interesting angle to this story that does not yet appear to have been picked up by the press.
This is that HES's winning bid when it procured the contract for clinical waste disposal services to the NHS, has already been the subject of separate court action.
Precisely. Now, in this separate court action, a rival company to HES complained that the company had won the contract due to an abnormally low tender, which that company alleged had not attracted the correct level of scrutiny by NHS England. And the rival complained that the supposed incineration plant to be used by HES in Scotland was not operational, could not be commissioned at all, and did not provide incineration due to the pyrolysis process that was employed. However, that complaint was rejected by the court.
If I recall, the precise quote from the judgment was, "An associated challenge or criticism was that if HES won the contract, the waste would not be incinerated and would simply be stored or stockpiled, and that HES would therefore be in breach of waste disposal regulations." Sounds fairly prescient, don't you think?
Well, indeed, but it actually goes further than that. The enforcement page of the gov.uk website has four entries showing reference to Regulation 36 of the Environmental Permitting Regulations by HES, and they read, "Comply with conditions and remedy pollution." And those are variously dated between 7 March 2018 and 25 July 2018. Now, there is a fifth entry which discloses an alleged breach of Regulation 38 of the same regulations dated 25 July. And that is a regulation that governs criminal offences, although without specifying what the precise allegation is.
But the final hearing date of that separate court action was the 27th of July, having started on the 11th of June. That would mean that the Environment Agency had concerns over the ability of HES to comply with its environmental permits at precisely the same time as this legal action was taking place and being heard in court.
Exactly, but the pyrolysis plant that was the subject of the court action was an incineration facility in Scotland. So thinking laterally, the jurisdictional divide here may have been a reason why there is no mention of the Environment Agency's concerns, simply because the facility would have been regulated by the Scottish Environment Protection Agency instead.
So the issues went under the radar?
Well, all we can say is that they were not picked up in the judgment. Concerns about stockpiling appear to have been legitimate, though. Key questions that arise from this interesting sideline are whether or not the public registers disclose enough information about ongoing issues, whether the differing national regulators communicate sufficiently with each other about the provision of key infrastructure, and perhaps critically, whether a regulator should be invited to intervene in private law proceedings where the outcome may have particular consequences for the environment.
Second, we turn our eyes to environmental regulation post-Brexit.
Now, Chris, how many more of these pathetic guidance notes on a no-deal Brexit are we going to be subjected to?
I know. They just keep coming. The latest notes were published on the 12th of October, including one on the classifying, labelling and packaging of chemicals.
Now, this, as we know, is a particularly thorny topic and particularly complicated. This is where the Environmental Audit Committee has identified that it is particularly difficult to see how the chemical regulation framework could be successfully transposed into UK law, and it raised specific concerns about the levels of uncertainty over the future regulatory framework that is already beginning to adversely affect this critical sector of the UK's economy. So, what was the note's answer to the problems brought?
We will copy the EU.
Is that it?
Yes.
But what about concerns raised about the cost of having to have two systems, one in the EU and one in the UK?
Not mentioned.
Okay, and what about the role of the European Chemicals Agency and the benefits of being able to share information to reduce the burden on businesses?
The government's proposed that the HSE will maintain an independent, standalone chemicals regime.
Well, I suppose that's all right then, isn't it?
Well, it would be if there were clear guidance in place as to how the HSE could be expected to be ready on Brexit Day, or on the status of current REACH registrations, which if they're not valid come Brexit Day, well, there's no EU market. But there isn't. Like so many of the guidance notes that have been published to date, there is very little by way of any detail on how the proposals will actually be put into effect. It's like we're hurtling into a regulatory crisis.
Jolly good. Are there any positives?
Well, if you're a hard-edged Brexiteer, you might like the reference to the fact that following a no-deal Brexit, the UK will be free to make its own decisions about chemical hazard classification, including whether or not to align with decisions made in the EU.
Ah, so that could give us some kind of competitive advantage.
Alas, almost certainly not. Market access in the chemicals market depends on regulatory compliance. The chemicals industry is the second largest exporter to the EU, after the automotive industry, with total exports of £26 billion. In order to access that market, exporters will need to comply with REACH. Diverging from European regulatory requirements could have the effect of killing that market, not to mention the potential consequences for the environment, resulting from a risk of reduction in environmental standards.
Marvellous. Let's move on. Our final story today concerns the fact that the government is formally seeking guidance from the Committee on Climate Change on how to move to zero emissions of greenhouse gases.
Last week, the UN reported that CO2 emissions must be stopped completely in order to avoid dangerous climate disruption. So, Mark, what's been the world's reaction?
Well, in the US, Donald Trump has gone so far as to accept that climate change is not a hoax, which is an improvement. But he has continued to assert that climate change scientists have a political agenda, and that whilst temperatures could very well go back, he didn't tell us how.
And in the UK?
In the UK, Climate Minister Claire Perry has said that the report was a really stark and sober piece of work, and that the question now is, what does government need to do? Where can the private sector come in? And what technologies will come through?
You would have thought that that might have been the type of question answered in the 25-year environment plan.
Now, Chris.
But doesn't it speak volumes when the question that's being posed at this stage is whether the 2050 target, which requires an 80% reduction in emissions by 2050 compared to levels in 1990, is still fit for purpose? Are we in a hole that we simply cannot get out of?
Well, the government says no. But greater emissions cuts are needed from cars, planes, industry, waste, farming, meat consumption, and heating. But this can be achieved.
By the private sector?
No, by a change in policies. It's time to start spelling out precisely what needs to be done. It will be very interesting to see what the Committee on Climate Change will advise.
Thank you for tuning in for this Environmental Law News podcast. For more information on any of these stories, or if you would like to discuss any of the topics raised in more detail, please contact Six Pump Court on 0207 797 8400, asking for either Christopher Badger or Mark Davies, or contact our colleagues at LexisNexis in the PSL Environment team.